Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today is podcast number 1793. The topic is nutrition and the title is Food Substitutions for Easier Daily Adjustments. I want to talk through a journal entry I had with a recent client. Just show a little bit about what we talk back and forth in their journals about, and then also share a concept that him and I were discussing that involved food substitutions so he could modify what he was eating each day to react to the day. You know, if he trained that day versus didn't train that day, maybe he started the day believing he was going to train but ended up not training. Our days can be very variable, and for us to achieve our best results in the gym, in regards to performance, training adaptations, but also how to better match our, you know, daily energy and stay lean, we want to be able to modify our food if our day changes. So if our day changes, we need to be able to change our food. I want to talk through what we went through in the journal, share some details, and we'll expand from there. So they wrote that it was not a great training week. They were keeping up with things, and when they say it wasn't great, they just mean it was a good week. So it was still good, it just wasn't a great one. And I wrote back and said, good to note the difference of good versus great, but something I remind myself of is when life is crazy or busy, good is a great week. So a good week can be a great week if you're navigating a lot of chaos and you can come out of it with, like another thing I was talking about with a client was, we have best options, okay options, and then worst options for how to train that day or how to eat that day. Maybe you would love to hit the best options all the time, but life is chaotic and you're hitting at least the okay options. Well, that can actually be a great week because you had a lot going on and you were still able to maintain progress towards your goals. So sometimes a good week is a great week. And I told him I wanted him to remember that, is it can't always be perfect, and often doing the best we can while still navigating everything else is a great outcome. They said they stayed within their calorie deficit and within macros every day except for one. They ate Korean barbecue and weren't sure exactly what the macros were, so they don't know if they were on point or not. And I said, well, great job, you know, pretty awesome that, you know, every other day was right on track. Korean barbecue, I said, likely gonna have higher calories if the meat has like a higher fat content than what you would normally eat. But the great thing is that he probably was okay on protein. You know, if you're eating a meat-focused dinner, it's probably going to be really good protein. There might be end up being, you know, higher amount of calories due to fats, but it's good to know that the protein was probably on point. They then said, I do not track as much, and they're referencing their food tracking. So I log in every day. Well, not every day. I log in at least once a week. I try to communicate with everybody about every 5 days, but the goal is at least once a week. And I go in, I look at their nutrition information, see what they entered for the days, give them suggestions on things they can change for food-wise to, you know, better hit our macros more consistently or just feel better throughout the day. Just different ways in which to look through their food and give suggestions. Now, they were saying that they haven't been entering as much into their food tracking app because they eat the same thing pretty much every day. So they eat some eggs on keto bread in the morning, a protein shake, and about 8 to 12 ounces of chicken breast and rice at noon. So morning is the eggs and keto bread and a protein shake post-workout. And then they do 8 to 12 ounces of chicken breast and jasmine rice for lunch. And then they do a protein bar and maybe some protein snacks like beef jerky, etc. In the like kind of daytime afternoon. And then at night they finish with a protein shake after dinner that has yogurt and protein powder. And that kind of depends on, you know, how many calories they need by the end of the day. If they were super busy in the evening and they had a quick dinner or a low calorie dinner, they'll increase the calories of this shake at night to make sure they still hit their calorie goal and their protein. So they'll have the yogurt, they'll have protein powder, And then depending on how many calories you need to catch up, they might add some fruit like blueberries or banana. And then if they said if they're really behind, they'll add a scoop of almond butter, which is 200 calories. So that'll help them really catch up. Now, I wrote back. I said, I love this. I love that you've found foods that you can be consistent with throughout the daytime. So that has been their biggest hindrance, was being able to eat enough during the day. They were typically skipping breakfast, then not really eating much during the day, and then they'd eat everything at night. They felt like crap. Their training was crap. They looked like crap. they were controlling their weight, but they didn't feel the best. They weren't performing the best, and they weren't getting the results they wanted. So this person is wanting to be leaner, have bigger muscles, and definitely like better certain muscle shape. We're working on their chest being a lot bigger. And then they also do cycling, they do yoga, they do some other stuff. They're just an active person, and they wanted to look more like what their lifestyle is. They wanted their appearance to match their lifestyle. You know, if they're an active person, but they don't feel like they look lean, they don't look muscular, it kind of is a bummer, you know, a little bit of a negative. And then they weren't feeling that great and didn't see strength progressions. They really were not getting the best of their training because they were training in a fasted state and then were in a fasted state post-training. So they were really under recovering and then under adapting to the training. So I said, I love it that they've found foods that they can be consistent with throughout the daytime so they can get in more calories during the day. That's going to help so much aesthetically and strength-wise. So I said a great job to them to build up that routine. They then said their night shake can be as little as 25 grams of protein and 200 calories, or as much as 70 grams of protein and 600 calories if they need to catch up. Now, I had made a podcast about how they can modify that in the past, so they started adding things to the protein shake at night, and that's been helping it with digestion. We had made a previous podcast about how much protein can a person absorb at one time, and the reason why I made that podcast was they were finding at the end of the day that they were way behind on protein, so they were trying to take, you know, 75, 100 grams of protein and protein powder, and they said, is that really ideal? And the answer is no. We would like to, if you need to have a lot of protein in a meal, you can do some protein powders, but also mix in some whole foods, as that eases digestion, and it'll lessen like bloat, it'll lessen gas, and it'll make sure that protein has a better rate of digestion, a slower rate of digestion throughout the nighttime. So that podcast was podcast 1769, nutrition podcast titled How Much Protein Can We Absorb in One Meal? So you can check that out if you'd like to. Then we go on and they mention they did get some frozen sirloin burgers from Costco. And they may start using them instead of chicken during the day, or to eat one or two plain burgers just to get in the protein. The goal is to try to increase their protein during the day and then also increase calories so they don't have as much at night to catch up on. So that is what we're getting into for today's podcast, is food substitutions for easier daily adjustments. So I wrote back to them and I said, I'm glad that you have the option to track new foods when you introduce new foods. Because we were talking about their setup with Apple now with logins and to do macronutrient tracking. But I said, it's good to have higher fat content meat for lunch to be able to adjust your calories more. For example, on back-to-back high-intense weight training days, if you're low in calories on the first day, you can use higher calorie meat the next day to try to catch up and make sure you're on the top end of the range of calories for the second day to try to catch up and recover well from the first day. And what's nice about higher fat content meat is it doesn't have to be a higher volume of food. So if they need to catch up on calories, they don't need to all of a sudden try to force feed themselves this massive volume of food. They would just get what's referred to as more nutrientally dense foods, meaning foods that without a larger volume of the food you can have more calories. So, for example, the same size of chicken breast and the same size of meat from sirloin burger, they're going to have more calories in the burger than they would in the chicken. So they don't need to eat a ton more chicken. They would just substitute the chicken with something that has greater calories, and then therefore their volume stays the same, especially since they don't like to eat during the day and they don't want to take all the time already. That's already a struggle. Don't make it any worse. They can just substitute the food. Now, that also gives them the ability to do the opposite. If they're a little higher in their calories and they want to bring their calories down, they would choose less nutrient-y dense foods. And then that, again, allows them to bring their calories down, but they still get to eat food. So, for example, I have one of my clients we talked about in yesterday's podcast that in the daytime, I want them to have 6 to 8 ounces of meat and around 30 to 50 grams of carbs from rice. So that size of meal is going to be, you know, a certain size. And that's going to be a volume that they're used to seeing in meals. It's going to be a volume they're used to digesting. The stomach is going to register that same stretch in the lining, so it'll give them the same sensation of feeling full. There's going to be a lot of benefits to having a consistent size of meal. Now, in the evening, I want that client to bring down their carbohydrates, but I don't want them to feel like they're eating so much less that it makes them feel like they didn't eat a full meal, and that might spark more cravings to eat extra little piddly things after the dinner. So what we wanted to do with their dinner was to keep the 6 to 8 ounces of meat and then just get about 30 grams of carbs from vegetables. Now, if you pick typical vegetables, say broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus, carrots, green beans, things like that, you're going to end up eating quite a bit of those to try to get to 30 grams of carbs. So that client in the evening is still going to feel like they have a full-size meal by picking less nutrient-y dense carb sources. So they get to eat as much as they normally would size-wise of food, but the calories are going to be lower. The ability to substitute food to have an adjustment in calories but not an adjustment in volume is extremely helpful, especially in cases where people struggle to eat enough to grow. A lot of times people want to get bigger muscles. You know, it might be a bodybuilding client or just somebody who wants to get bigger, but we talk about one of the hindrances they have is they can't eat more. They're like, oh man, I'm just not hungry, or I'm already stuffed all day. I feel bloated, feel kind of heavy, feel disgusting all day. I just can't freaking eat more food. And then I start talking to them. I'm like, well, what are you eating? And it looks like it's, you know, chicken breast or fish and rice. And I'm like, okay, not bad meals. And you'll see a lot of bodybuilders eat that. But if you were to substitute the chicken for, say, sirloin steak, you wouldn't need as much carbs. You wouldn't need as much rice because you're adding fat calories to the meat. Therefore, you can bring down the carb calories and you can maintain the same kind of calories of the meal, but increase them if you want. But the volume doesn't get increased. So they can eat what would feel like 200, 400 calories more at a meal, but not have to eat a significantly larger portion of food. So another, like a quick way to think of this is, if I'm eating chicken breast and rice, let's say I pour 2 tablespoons of oil over the rice. Now, if you don't like olive oil, I have clients who don't like the taste of olive oil. That's totally fine. You can do macadamia nut oil. You can do avocado oil. You can do grapeseed oil. Has basically no taste. There's a lot of different types of oils. But if you pour 2 tablespoons of oil over the rice, it doesn't add to the size of the rice, right? It doesn't like swell the rice up and now it's twice the size. It's the same exact size. But now you've just added, you know, a ton of extra calories, but the size of the meal didn't get any bigger. So that is actually one way to increase calories without increasing volume, would be to add something like oils. Now, if you don't want to do that, you can make a different substitution where you would substitute, say, red meat for very lean meats like chicken breast or fish. if you substitute fattier content meat at the same portion size, say 6 to 8 ounces, as a leaner meat at 6 to 8 ounces, it's still 6 to 8 ounces. The volume is still the same. But there's going to be a lot more calories. And vice versa, say you're eating a lot of red meat and now all of a sudden you want to get lean, you don't have to eat less food, just substitute the red meat for lean meats, like chicken and fish. Now, this is actually something I've used, you know, a million ways over the years to gain a lot of size. I graduated high school at a higher body fat percentage than I have now, but I was over 100 pounds lighter. I only weighed 165 pounds. I now weigh around 275, 280, but I'm significantly leaner. My body fat percentage is actually leaner at 275 than I was at 165. How I've been able to add over 100 pounds of mass to the body without getting any fatter, I'm actually leaner, is by doing tricks like this. So when I would want to eat to gain size, I would end my day with steak and rice. And I would even maybe pour oil on that. When I wanted to diet, I would drop the oil, do that for a couple weeks, and then I'd switch from steak to chicken. And then I'll do that for a little while, and then I tend to switch from chicken to fish. And it's interesting because the fish will digest a little faster than chicken, so therefore it leaves your body in a little bit of a greater kind of digestive deficit between meals, and that can actually help push more fat loss as well. So there's a lot of aspects that you can play around with when it comes to food choices in order to increase calories or decrease calories without increasing or decreasing volume. This is extremely helpful to know because then you can modify what you're eating as you go through the day, or modify what you're eating as you go from one goal focus to another goal focus, such as from trying to build muscle mass to trying to get leaner, or vice versa. So it's very, very, very helpful. And I told him that having the ability to play around with the caloric contents of your meals, but to know your protein is still getting consistent, is excellent for helping accuracy and consistency towards our daily targets. I told him he's doing a great job by thinking through these elements and by picking up that extra food, so that way he has the availability of it when he needs it. Now we continued, and he said his workouts are good. He's staying very active. He's been doing a lot of things. He said the Apple Watch he has been telling him he's been burning over 1,000 calories per day, which he knows is not maybe truly accurate, but it's still a huge increase from where it has been in the past. And I said, yeah, those calorie trackers for activity aren't 100% accurate, but they're usually very consistent, so they are helpful to see increases or decreases in trends over time. He said, I don't really get into the flow of new workouts until about week 2, so this upcoming week will be better. And I said, that's very common as well. The first week is typically filling out the new movements, trying to get an idea of whether you're doing everything right. And then the second week, we have more of a sense of feeling, okay, you know, I understand this, I got this, I'm good. And then the third and fourth weeks of the program are the best weeks to truly grind and push the body and really challenge its limits. With all of my clients, I write brand new workouts every 4 weeks. I believe that that is by far the optimal rate of change for how often you should change your exercises. Now, we have a podcast on that, how often you should change exercises. Let me get you that podcast number. Now, podcast 1468 is a Q&A podcast titled, How Often Should I Change Exercises? So that would be a good one to check out. To listen to. And again, that's podcast 1468. I know some programs, they'll have somebody stay with, you know, workouts for 12 weeks. I believe that that is trash. I believe it's a lazy way of writing programming. So that's, you know, kind of an aggressive position. But if you're somebody who believes in linear progression, and most of the people who write those 12-week programs believe that you should make linear progression, I don't know how the hell you're making progression over 12 weeks. You're either sandbagging in the beginning, or your technique is going to go to absolute trash by the end in order to make progressions, or the level of progression that you're making from week to week is so damn, you know, minuscule, it's not even significant in regards to pushing the body to make new adaptations. And it's frustrating that people write programs like that. I do believe that changing programs every 4 weeks, changing exercises every 4 weeks is optimal. I've had clients where we change them every 2 or 3, depending on how fast their body adjusts and where we are in stages of prep for various competitions. And then every once in a while, I've extended it to 6 weeks if somebody, you know, maybe they want to work on confidence. They're really new to lifting. They're really new to kind of working on exercise technique. So we might stay with something a little bit longer just to give them more confidence. But that is knowing that we're trading off some confidence gains for the ability to actually make true progressions. So we don't do that forever, but it's good for every now and then if somebody has some confidence challenges. Then also, I might keep a certain exercise the same. You know, we might say barbell squat for 4 weeks and then still barbell squat the next 4 weeks, but we'll build a different movement prep before it. We do some different extra accessories after it. We are still always trying to change something about the programming, so it's always pushing the body to make new progressions. So I do believe that changing them every 4 weeks is optimal. The client then continues and they say they do the 4 week four workouts that I prescribe in my programming, and then we do also account for them doing some extra. They do some yoga, and then they'll also do some bike riding, which is pretty awesome. So I'm very happy for them. They have an active, healthy lifestyle. I'm glad they're having a lot of fun and that they're doing things that, you know, make them enjoy fitness. The last thing I want to leave you with is the last comments that he and I made, and he said, today I'm doing workout one this morning and then yoga this evening. Then workout 2 on Tuesday, workout 3 will be on Thursday, and workout 4 will be on Friday. So this is my double up day on strength training and yoga. Having said all of that, I am at a plateau and staying around 182 to 185 of my weight. Some of that may be muscle growth. It is. So he's building muscle as he's losing body fat, which is why his weight is kind of stagnant a little bit. He said, I was in church yesterday and just feeling my stomach, and I was like, wait, I think I feel abs. And I thought that was pretty awesome. So I was very happy for him. So he said, I'm not discouraged by the weight scale. I do believe I'm seeing progress in the way I look. But he would continue to like to see that weight scale go down if he believes, and he's right, there's room for more fat to come off at a faster rate than he's able to build muscle. So he wants to continue to build muscle. He wants to lose fat, which would typically mean that he's going to weigh the same over time. But there is a more amount of fat loss available to us right now than there would be at the rate of which we can build muscle. So his weight can come down more without sacrificing muscle building. So he was asking if there's anything we can do with that. And I responded. I said, this will sound counterintuitive, but the key for you to continue to get leaner is to not undereat. And if you've listened to yesterday's podcast, you know this is a trend. But people undereat all the time. And it's actually hurting their fat loss. So I continued. I said, if you undereat, your body will feel unprotected nutritionally. And it'll respond by protecting itself with available energy if it doesn't trust that you will provide that energy. The protective available energy is body fat, which we don't want. Our body consumes calories, and if there's any ability for it to store excess, and it does it in many different ways, if it feels like it's not getting enough food, it'll, you know, decrease caloric usage towards other functions of the body, so it can create some surplus and then save that surplus as body fat. So we don't want that. So to get leaner, we want to provide the body exactly what it needs when it needs it. And then it won't have any reason to protect itself by holding on to body fat. So you're essentially at the stage, and this is what I was telling the client, that I get to with my aesthetic clients, people who compete in bodybuilding, bikini, figure, you know, physique, all those things, is that you're lean, but to get leaner, the deeper details are starting to matter more. What I said we can focus on is hitting the targets that we have for calories, protein, and sugars. Try to hit those 12 to 13 days out of every 14 days. So every 2 weeks, try to only miss, you know, like 1 to 2 days per 2 weeks. Hitting our distribution goals. Now, this is going to be the thing that starts to help him. Is consuming about a third of your calories and protein in the first third of the day, And then the second third of the calories and protein, the second third of the day, and the final third of the calories and protein in the final third of the day. So we want to kind of spread our food out throughout the day. So this means that within the first 5 to 6 hours of the day, we want to consume one third of our calories of protein. The next 5 to 6 hours of the day, we want to consume another third. And then the final 5 to 6 hours of us being awake, we want to consume the final one third. The more we have that timing dialed in, the leaner you'll continue to get. So what I wanted him to know was, if we were to continue to reduce calories rather than focusing on distribution, you'd negatively impact our progress that we've been making towards strength and muscle building. But if we stay with the calories that we have and we dial in the distribution timing more precisely, he will get leaner without needing to reduce calories, which will make sure that he can actually maintain eating the amount he's eating now, which is going to help him not have huge cravings. But it'll also make sure that we're able to maintain the progressions of strength and muscle that we also want. We don't want to trade all of our other goals just to get the weight scale to go down. We want to maintain strength progression, maintain muscle mass progression while getting leaner. And that is going to be the trick for him, is in increasing and dialing in his distribution of calories and protein to better match his daily needs. And then that's going to allow him to still have enough calories and protein to make his strength and muscle mass progressions, but it's going to reduce the offset of surpluses and deficits of energy nutrients, so it's going to help him reduce his body fat. So, that was maybe a lot, but I thought it was fun, and I do think it's helpful, and I've gotten feedback that it's helpful, for people to hear kind of what I talk back and forth with in my clients in their journals. This is a very normal discussion where they write some thoughts, I write some thoughts, then we try some things, then we progress and we keep moving forward. So anybody who works with me with one-on-one coaching, this is the type of support you're going to get, is you can ask anything, you can discuss anything. I will talk to you through the online journal once a week, give you tons of information, tons of education, share some extra links for various things if needed, and then we're going to try some stuff for a week and then adjust as we go. So training programs are brand new every 4 weeks, but we adjust nutrition every single week whenever the hell we need to, and we discuss all these questions on a very regular basis every single week. Awesome. Well, I hope it was helpful to hear today's input and information. If you have any follow-up questions, just let me know. If you're interested in our services, you can check them out on our website. And again, that's www.brutalirongym.com. Okay, well, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support it. It does have a high hosting cost, so I appreciate the donations that we do get. It helps cover some of that cost, which I am very appreciative of. So thank you very much. And you can donate on the website if you'd like to under, again, www.brutalirongym.com. If you like the information we share in the podcast, you can always find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.